Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative, and United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. With us this week is Susan Lerner, the Executive Director of Common Cause New York. She's been on many times on this program. Susan Lerner, welcome to the Capital Connection.
Dave, always a pleasure.
Well, obviously, you are the Executive Director of Common Cause, and, you know, I can't assume everyone out there listening right now even knows what your organization is. So why don't we just start with that? What is Common Cause?
So Common Cause is a government watchdog group. We advocate for strengthening our democracy to ensure that all eligible voters have an opportunity to cast a ballot that is safe and secure and that is accurately counted. We want an effective, inclusive democracy that represents all New Yorkers.
And are you a membership organization? How are you funded?
We are a membership organization. We raise money from our members. We get some foundation grants, but primarily we're funded by people who care about democracy and helping our country live up to its ideals.
Indeed, and that's basically why we're speaking today. We have early voting coming in New York. Talk about early voting for us and what voters should know.
Well, voters should know that now, thanks to a lot of hard work on the part of the Let New York Vote Coalition, New Yorkers actually have choices as to how and when they can vote. And people who want to vote in person have two opportunities, really. They have 10 opportunities because we have 9 days of early voting, which starts on October the 26th and goes, that's this Saturday, and goes all the way through to the following Sunday, which is November the 3rd. And you're able to vote early at a voting center in your county. So rather than being assigned to a particular early voting location, any place in the state other than New York City, you're able to pick a location that's convenient for you. And the times vary from county to county and, frankly, from day to day. But the idea is that we all have, unfortunately, too many demands on our time. Some people have family that they have to care for while they're working. Some people are working multiple jobs. And it's sometimes very challenging to get to vote in the 16 hours on one day, which is the election day. So to really provide people with more opportunities to have their voices heard through the ballot box, we now have early voting. So it's important to go to the website for your particular county Board of Elections and look up and see where's early voting in my county and what are the hours. But the important thing to know is 9 days, starting this coming Saturday and going through to the following Sunday.
Now, obviously, after the claims by the former president, Donald Trump, that the election was stolen and this big lie that was spread and has people losing faith in the election process, even in voting and, you know, protests outside boards of election and poll workers feeling unsafe. You know, what can we say to voters in New York about what to expect on election day and why they should feel that their elections can be safe and secure and valid?
So the thing that people who are raising questions about our election system don't seem to understand is that our elections are run locally. And the people who run our elections are our family, friends, and neighbors. Our election law in New York, as in every other state, is incredibly detailed. And we have an extraordinary system of checks and balances. Elections are run not by a particular political party. Rather, they, in New York, they run on a bipartisan basis. Every single thing that's done, whether it's designing the ballot, assigning polling places, training poll workers is done in a bipartisan basis. You don't have Democrats or Republicans. You have Democrats and Republicans working together in lockstep to ensure that all of the intricate procedures, checks and balances that are in our election law to ensure the good design of our ballot, the opening of our polling places, the custody of our ballots, all of those procedures are followed. And those people are people you know. They are friends and neighbors. They're not some crazy political operative from some other place. They are people from your community. And anyone who has actually worked the polls, taken the poll worker training, been involved in watching the count of the vote, comes away incredibly impressed with how detailed the procedure is and how many cautions there are, so many checklists, so many ways to ensure that ballots are accurately counted and safeguarded in the process.
You know, one of the things I'm often concerned about is not the people who are going to vote or the voting process, but are people actually registered? I noticed this with the college students that I teach. Professor, how do I do that again? Right? People have to be registered, and there are ways to do that.
Yes, and we have, again, had the advantage here in New York of really opening up and simplifying the process. You can register to vote all the way through Saturday, October the 26th. And what that means is we have one day overlap between early voting and the ability to register. So if late on Friday night, you think, oh my gosh, I meant to register. What am I going to do? You can go to an early voting location. You can fill out what we call an affidavit ballot, which has all of the information that's on a registration form. You can then vote that affidavit ballot. It goes into a sealed envelope. And after the election, the Board of Elections follows a careful procedure to ensure that you are indeed an eligible voter. If you are an eligible voter, your voter registration is then finished. You're then registered. And only at that point would the ballot that you cast as an affidavit ballot be counted. So the procedure is the same for any registration. It's just that you have the advantage that you can do it in person and fill out a ballot at the same time. But you know, Dave, we also now have online voter registration here in New York State. So, you know, you're getting ready for bed and it's Thursday night and you're like, oh my gosh, the registration deadline is coming up. They have to have received my ballot. I don't have time to fill out paper. You can go online and fill it out and you will be able to vote on the machines several days later. So we've really tried working with our legislators and with the election administrators at the Board of Elections to think through significant changes to make it more accessible so that more New Yorkers can have their voices heard at the ballot. But again, within a system of necessary checks and balances, none of this is done casually or off the cuff. All of it is thought through and very detailed with a lot of checks and balances.
You're listening to The Capital Connection. I'm David Gustina, and we're with Susan Lerner, the Executive Director of Common Cause New York. You can find out more at commoncause.org/new-York. Well, Susan, I know one of the other goals of Common Cause is to expand voting even more. And to that end, there was a law passed in 2022 to expand voting onto college campuses to allow students to vote from their college address if they were in a dorm on the campus. Now, you, I saw, were one of the organizations involved in a coalition, along with NYPERG and others, who have been constantly reminding the state officials that, hey, you know, their deadline for this was March, and we need to stay on this. And there's some concern because not all campuses have lived up to the letter of the law. There's some provisions. I guess you have to have at least 1,000 students, and 300 have to be registered on campus. But can you talk a little bit more about this? Because, you know, young people are an important part of our elections, and oftentimes they're the ones that vote in the least numbers.
So allowing college students to choose where they want to vote has been an element of New York law for a very, very long time. But what's been lacking is actual information to the students, letting students know that they have a choice. Once they are 18, they've left home, they're at a college campus somewhere in the state, but they then can register to vote at their college residence because that's where they plan to stay for the next 4 years. Or if they want to continue a registration that perhaps they filed while they were in high school back at their parents' home because they expect to return back to their parents' home, they're able to then get an absentee ballot or a vote by mail ballot and vote at their previous where they're planning to return to be with their parents. But most college students don't have the information that they can vote where they are living for college. And so 2 years ago, as part of the budget, the governor introduced a measure which required that there be a polling place on college campuses where you have 300 or more registrants who have registered their residence on the college campus at a dorm. The problem is that what we've seen is very spotty enforcement, a lot of confusion about how many students are actually registered living on campus. And so we have seen almost no increase in the number of polling places that are on college campuses. And we know from discussions with students, students have crazy schedules. They're under a lot of pressure. And if they have to travel 1, 2, or 3 miles to be able to vote, particularly in areas where there's no public transportation, and a Tuesday is a very busy class day, they may not get to vote at all. So we have been pushing the Board of Elections, Common Cause, NYPERG, and our other partners to really look seriously at their obligations to put polling places on campuses. And we've also been talking with our Let New York Vote Youth Working Group has been talking directly to the colleges to say, hey, you should get a polling place on your campus. And if you don't have 300 students who have registered living in the dorm, that doesn't preclude you from asking to have a polling place on your campus. We want to see more polling places on campuses. We want to see more information provided to students because we know that when a person registers and votes in their youth, when they are young, they become a lifelong voter. And that's what we need. We need people who are civically engaged and who will be voters, not just in their late teens and 20s, but throughout their lives. Or we need them to start now and not wait until they're in their 60s.
Yeah, and I can tell you anecdotally that at the University at Albany, where I teach a broadcast journalism course, they have been active in trying to educate students. They have put an entire webpage with links to find out if you're registered, what to do if there are problems. We had one of the representatives from UAlbany who's handling this into our class to talk about these various issues. And it was clear the students were not aware. And, you know, I do believe it should be as easy as possible, but I also scold my students because a lot of them are not paying attention. I mean, I'm busy. You're busy, Susan, but we still find time to vote. I don't find the excuses that they often give are good enough when, as a citizen in this country, one of your responsibilities, one of your duties is to vote in elections. So, you know, part of this is that for whatever reason, young people don't see themselves invested in the society yet.
Yeah, and that's problematic because, of course, the decisions that are made by the people who are being elected are going to impact their lives
right. Pretty
directly. And, you know, I'm glad, Dave, that you are talking to your students and helping them understand the way in which all levels of government are going to impact their lives currently and for the future. And we need to have more information for our young voters to understand why it's important to vote and how the different elected officials make decisions which impact their present and their future, and that every single vote counts. There are an extraordinary number of close elections that people are not aware of, and they think, oh, well, my vote doesn't count. But particularly in the local elections, in our state-level elections, we've had elections which have been decided sometimes by as few as 1 to 100 votes. And that means every single vote matters. And the candidates the person who is elected has a impact on your life, your health insurance, the jobs that are available to you. Just so many things that people take for granted are actually influenced by who we elect into office in our state.
You're listening to The Capital Connection. I'm David Gustina, and we're with Susan Lerner, the executive director of Common Cause New York. You can find out more at commoncause.org/new-York. Susan, I want to ask you about the Proposition 1 on the ballot, because I know you have a position on that. But before I go to that, I do want to talk a little bit more about what if someone encounters a problem at a polling site?
So we at Common Cause are part of a national network, a coalition called Election Protection. And part of that effort is a free, legally staffed hotline, the 1-866 Our Vote hotline, which is staffed with legal personnel, as I said, and is available to you at any time. So if you have questions, and it can be as simple as, is my registration good right now? Where is my early voting polling place? When is it open? You can call 1-866 Our Vote, and they will help you. And if you run into problems, they also can advise you as to what your rights are in the situation. The other part of the election protection process is that we at Common Cause, with our partners at Let New York Vote, train and place nonpartisan volunteers at busy polling places at locations in our state to help voters directly, to be there to answer questions, to be a voter advocate, to ensure that to the maximum extent possible, everything goes smoothly and securely. And we have a direct line in to the various boards of elections if problems arise that are reported to us.
1-866 Our Vote. Now, let's go to Proposition 1. You are urging folks to vote yes. It's the Equal Rights Amendment, basically, New York Equal Rights Amendment. Obviously, there are, in New York City, there are other propositions that people want to vote on, but for our statewide listeners, your reasoning, now, largely the Republican Party is saying vote no, and they're talking about, you know, the influence on school sports and other things, which I think have been debunked by most honest media, but let's talk a little bit about Proposition 1.
So Proposition 1 was engendered to ensure that we have the strongest possible protections for abortion rights and reproductive rights in our state. But what it also does is that it embeds existing protections that are often in our statutes in our state constitution to ensure that basic rights are protected from government discrimination, no matter who is in control of our legislature, who is in the governor's mansion in the future. So having these sorts of basic rights against discrimination, protecting reproductive rights, pregnancy outcomes, the ability to control your own body and your future in our state constitution is very important, because the state constitution is a bedrock, and the amendment process is appropriately careful, takes time, and requires the voters' approval. So once we put these bedrock important protections in our state constitution, we are all safer. And we feel strongly that our state and our state constitution should be protecting people's basic rights. And that's what this amendment does. Now, what's frustrating to me at Common Cause New York is that we worked very, very hard with the state legislature to pass a law which requires that measures which appear on the ballot should be no more complicated to read than requiring an eighth grade reading level. And the Board of Elections, to my mind, just blew past that requirement of the law. And so the language that's on the ballot is legalese and confusing. It doesn't really tell you what this proposition is about. It is about abortion rights. It's about rights for LGBTQ individuals. It's about protecting all of us now and in the future. And we at Common Cause New York are urging people to flip over their ballot, because the proposition is always on the back. Flip over your ballot and vote yes on Proposition 1.
And it's not a surprise that, and I hope they will, but it wouldn't be a surprise, would it, that for some this will go unanswered because they simply will forget to turn their ballot over.
Yeah, yeah. And we're urging the boards of elections to remind poll workers to tell people when they hand them the ballot, and don't forget, flip over your ballot, vote on the proposals on the back.
We are speaking with Susan Lerner. She's the executive director of Common Cause New York. Susan, this was a bit ago, back in June, but I wanted to get your thoughts because it's a very interesting and different way of voting for New York City, ranked choice voting. And
yes,
you did a review of this, and you know, many have argued over the years that this is a better way for people to vote, and other places do use it.
Well, we at Common Cause New York are very strong supporters for ranked choice voting. We believe that when you have crowded fields, which are great for the voter, you want a lot of candidates to run. But when you have a large number of candidates, then being able to rank them makes it that much easier to make sense of the crowded field. And ranked choice voting gives voters more choices and more voice, so that their vote is empowered. We see a lot of benefits to ranked choice voting. And to me, ranked choice voting is a logical follow-up to a public financing system where candidates can get public money to run when they have appropriate community backing for their candidacy. And the reason I say that is that what we see when we have public funding, which has just started in this cycle in New York State, we see more people run. We see more community members who realize they don't have to be personally wealthy in order to run a good campaign. They just need to have backing from grassroots supporters in their district, and they get matching funds. And as a consequence, we see more crowded fields, more choices for voters, which we at Common Cause definitely like. And then the voters sometimes find that they have difficult choices to make. They may feel passionately about one candidate, but they're being told that candidate probably is not going to win, and they're trying to figure out, should I vote my passion? Should I vote for the lesser of two evils? What should I do in that situation? With ranked choice voting, you don't have to choose the lesser of two evils. You vote for the candidate you really care about, and then you rank two, three more candidates. And if your first choice doesn't have enough votes, then your second choice is likely to move forward. And it allows you to make better choices, more informed choices. Voters in New York City have told us that as a consequence of ranked choice voting, they actually have spent more time learning about more candidates because they know that they're able to rank them. And an informed electorate is what I think we all want to see. And people in New York City use ranked choice voting extensively, and it's very popular.
Well, it is a presidential election year, Susan Lerner, and I'm wondering if you're hopeful. I am, that there'll be quite a big turnout, and including, and I'm hoping, among young people.
Absolutely. We're doing everything we can to get the word out. And you have three different ways to vote. You can vote early in person, starting, as we said, this coming Saturday, October 26th, all the way through to the following Sunday, November 3rd. But you know, Dave, we now have vote by mail in New York.
That's right.
So you can go online, and that's the way to do it right now, and request a mail ballot, and it will be sent directly to you. You can then examine the ballot, think about the candidates, think more about the propositions, fill it out at your leisure. You fill out your ballot, you put it in the privacy envelope, you seal and sign that envelope and date it, and then you put it back into the return envelope, and you can put it in the mail, or you can drop it off at any early voting location or any polling place in your county, and it will be counted. And of course, you can vote in person on Election Day.
And if you vote on Election Day, let's keep it civil, folks, okay? Be good to people. Be nice. Be kind. And don't be bringing your political signs and T-shirts with you.
No, that is absolutely illegal. You cannot electioneer within 100 feet of a polling place. But you know, Dave, what we have seen over and over again, even when there are long lines, people want to vote, and the vast majority are patient, and they are there to have their voices heard, and they are going to invest the time necessary to be able to vote. It's a very, very small minority of people who are obstreperous. And, you know, we have provisions. I know the board has provisions. We, as election protection monitors, have trained our people in some de-escalation tactics. And we're expecting an election which will go smoothly. If somebody is being obnoxious and driving around honking horns or yelling at people, the best thing we can do is ignore them and be sure that our vote counts.
She is Susan Lerner, the executive director of Common Cause New York. You can find out more at commoncause.org/new-York. And I can't thank you enough, Susan, for coming on and really providing some great information for people as we are about to head into a major election.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, thank you for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
And you. Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina.